Jesus said this in John 14. He says, when I send you the Holy Spirit, he will remind you of all things. In other words, I sat down not knowing I knew this. But when I just wrote the question, why did Jesus come? What's the purpose of Christmas? Why did he come? A flood of scriptures came so fast that I had to write fast to keep up, because the Holy Spirit will do that in all of us. And so I'm just going to share with you the brain dump that he gave me this morning. I just had to cut it off because time ran out of time, because it would have been 25 reasons. And all of them relate to his coming, the Christmas story, to his coming. All right? So go with me to 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 1. First epistle of John. Now, this is not the reason. This is the fact. This is why you need to believe he came in the flesh. You know, there are some people that do not believe Jesus came in the flesh. One of the strongest false teachings that happened when the Bible was being written back in the Apostle John's day was that Jesus only came like a phantom. He didn't literally become a human being. He was too holy to do that. God, who is a spirit, is too holy to become a lowly human being with flesh, so he only came in the appearance of flesh. That wasn't real flesh. It was kind of like a phantom Jesus. And because Jesus is in a class all his own, so all the miracles he did it in a God class, a spirit being class, because there's no way he could become a man. There's no way God could get involved in our mess. And that's one of the teachings that was coming strong against the early church. Well, that same teaching is strong today, because people even today say that, well, you know, Jesus says we can lay hands on the sick, right? Mark 16, and they can recover. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people healed from anything from what we would call smaller diseases to terminal diseases. And we've literally laid hands on people that had 3 days to live in the ICU at MediView, and 3 days later, they're washing their dog. Because he said in Mark, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, that's got to be true, or the Bible's not true. But there is a class of teaching that I grew up under that Jesus healed people because he was God. He was in a class all of his own. He didn't do it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He did it as God, not as man. In other words, he was in a class all of his own. And so that's sort of the same kind of teaching. We're talking about Jesus, Christmas, he came as a man. Yes. So here it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit or every human being preaching. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. False preachers, false teachers, right? Mm-hmm. But by this you know the Spirit of God. Or in other words, by this you can tell if someone that is talking to you about God is talking by the Spirit of God or whether they're not. And here's how you can know. Every spirit or every person that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So when we celebrate Christmas, that Jesus became a little baby, that means that we're in line with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I don't know if you thought about this, but Jesus was both God and man. Do you understand somebody had to change God's diaper for a while? He pooped his pants. Somebody had to feed God. Because he wasn't just God when he came into the scene through the womb of Mary, he was both God and man. And he did not rely on his God ability when he got onto the earth. He depended as a human being on the Spirit of God, just like you have to. It's an amazing thing in this teaching here to think that everything that Jesus did, he did not depend on his divine power. He did it as a human being, being assisted by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, why did the River Jordan happen? Why did the Holy Spirit have to come on him in the River Jordan? Why did the power of the Holy Spirit have to come on Jesus if he's God? You don't have to anoint God. This is an amazing thing. We talk about Christmas, but do we really believe in the Christmas story? Jesus became one of us. and showed us how to do it. In verse 3, he says, and every spirit or every human being that does not, or spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You know, we that have preached end time stuff, I used to be strong on end time preaching and still believe in it. We need to be taught what the Bible says about the last days and what's coming. But he's, you know, all of us, man, when I was growing up, they scared the beans out of us. Yeah. Right? About the Antichrist. You know, the Antichrist is going to get you. You better watch out. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Antichrist is coming to town. You know, but what John says is the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. They'll just be a human embodiment of it in the last days. But that spirit's already in the world. And how do you recognize the Antichrist spirit? When it puts the ministry of Jesus in a class of its own and disqualifies you from doing what he said you could do. Now go to Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 5. Man, thank God for the Bible. Philippians chapter 2. How many of you believe the Christmas story that Jesus came in the flesh? Yes. Now, Philippians chapter 2 gives another snapshot of his coming. Verse 5, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Philippi, to the believers there. And so, you know, this is 30 or 40 years after his death, burial, and resurrection. But Paul, looking back to the birth of Jesus, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's worth meditating on, right? Let the same thought patterns, the same way of thinking be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Learn to think the way he thought. Now, if he did that all only as God, then this is impossible. There's no way I can think like God. I'd have to think like a man anointed by God, right? Now, what mind was in him? Verse 6, who being in the form of God, in other words, in heaven before he became a little baby, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And man, I'm telling you, scholars have had such a hard time interpreting this verse. You almost have to look at four or five translations to understand what it says. And this, to me, the New King James is really, I read that and think it still doesn't make sense. But literally, what he's saying here is even though he was God and had been God for eternity past, he did not consider being God in heaven, the Son of God, being the second member of the Godhead, as something to be held on to and grasped and not let go of. He didn't think, he wasn't afraid to turn loose of that and also become a man. You understand what that means? All right. So it goes on to verse 7, it says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. The word likeness there means in the form of man. He became in the form of a man. Literally what he said here, when it says he made himself of no reputation, that's an interesting word. You know, the Bible was written originally in the Greek language, and it's the word kenosis. It literally means he emptied himself of all of his divine privileges and power. Wow. He left that in heaven. Wow. Now, when he was on earth, he is God in the flesh. But he did not use his God privileges or his God power to do anything he did. He did it as a human being. He emptied himself, made himself. In other words, if Jesus can do it, so can you. This is what Christmas is about. He showed us how to do this. He was the leader, the example, the prototype of what a human being that knows God and full of God can do. Amen. And coming in the likeness of men, and it said he, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Now go to John chapter 14, and this is another one of those challenging, take you to the edge scriptures, you know. But yet here it is. This is Jesus speaking. John chapter 14, verse 10. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, "Do you not believe that I am in my Father, and the Father, and the Father in me?" Jesus is saying, he said, "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Jesus is saying right there, I'm not doing these works. I don't have that ability in my human flesh. It's the Father in me.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Wow. I think we know we could go back, and we won't. We could go back to the original verse we started, because the next verse, 1 John 4:4, says, "Greater is he that's in you." Yeah. See, that's the secret to Jesus' life. He understood who was in him. Yeah. He didn't depend on his flesh. It was empty. He depended on the one in him. Amen. In this coming year, let's learn to depend not on our own flesh, our own wisdom, our own ability, our own goodness. Let's depend on the one who was gracious enough to live in us.